it's a beautiful day today. And you know, I think a great activity this afternoon would be to go fishing, wouldn't it? Does that sound good? I probably won't, but it sounds like fun, doesn't it? Well, we are, we're a couple weeks past Easter, 2 weeks past Easter, and in Scripture, in John, in the Gospel of John chapter 21, a story is told. And it's one of those, I like to think of it as a family story. Do you guys have any family stories? Anybody have family stories? Some of those things that have kind of been passed down from generation to generation. I have some of those. I have some of those that I hesitate to tell my kids, which is kind of bad, but I don't remember like the main characters, like who they were. Like, I just remember like little snippets. I'm like, well, why was that significant? Well, it's something that happened and people found it interesting and they passed it on, right? There's one story. Sometimes they have punchlines. There's one story way back when my grandfather was a boy. They were in a sled, like a wagon, back when they had horses and it was snowy and it was winter. And they were going down the road. They'd been in town. And all of a sudden, the horses got spooked. It was after dark, and they started running. And they just were running. It was a runaway. And so my great-grandmother jumped with my great-aunt in her arms onto a snow pile, and everybody else bailed. But my grandfather was asleep in the wagon because it was night. It was late, and he was probably like 4 or 5 years old. And the horses, they knew where they were going, and they ran home. And they ran up on a hay pile. And the older boys who had been left home to do the chores and all that kind of stuff while the folks went into town, they came out, and they're like asking them, where is everybody? And he's like, they're all back in town dead. That's the punchline. Well, they weren't dead. They found a neighbor, they got lodging for the night, and the next morning they came home, and of course the horses were there, and all was well. But, you know, it had this punchline. You know, what's the point of that story? I don't know, it has a punchline. Maybe it's because God protected them. I don't know, but it's just one of these stories that's been passed down. Well, we have lots of family stories in the Bible. And one of my very favorites is here in John chapter 21. And it's a while, we're not sure how long, but it's been a while after Jesus has been crucified and he's been raised from the dead. And the disciples have gone into Galilee. So Jesus was crucified. If you can kind of imagine here, sometimes it helps to see this. But here's Israel. Of course, Israel is really in the news right now, isn't it? I have not checked the news this morning. But here's Israel. And here's Galilee, and then down here is the Dead Sea, and this is a really bad map, but around, somewhere down here is Jerusalem. And Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead down here outside of Jerusalem. And he tells his disciples, you know what, go back up to Galilee. This is the Lake of Galilee, by the way. Go back up to Galilee, and I'll meet you there. And if you were here 2 weeks ago on Easter, you know, he tells them in that scripture passage to go back to Galilee, and I'll meet you there. This was the area that Jesus was from, and this was the area that a lot of his disciples were from. It's where he'd first met them. They were fishermen on the Lake of Galilee, on the Sea of Galilee, and people still fish there today. Be a great day for fishing. But we're told that, you know, it was a while after Jesus' death and resurrection, his disciples are up there, they're in Galilee, and I don't know what was going on. They must have been sitting around or something. But it tells us in John chapter 21, it says, afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. That's kind of introducing the story, telling us what it's about. And then it says, it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, who were James and John, and two other disciples were together. And I love this part. Peter says, I'm going out to fish. You know what? They're sitting around. They've been through some traumatic things. I'm sure they're tired. And Peter says, you know what? I'm going out to fish. These men were fishermen. Before they'd met Jesus, they had been fishermen. James and John had been fishing partners with their father. Peter was a fisherman. A lot of them were fishermen. He says, I'm going out to fish. And these other guys that are around with them, not all 12 of the disciples were there, but seven of them were, said, you know what, we're going to go with you. We're told who some of them are, but there are at least two that, you know, it's been lost. We don't know who those two were, but they were there. You know, I can't remember exactly who was there, but they were there. Somebody was retelling the story. So they go out, and they fish all night long. Night was a good time to fish. You know, they would usually catch something. But it's getting towards morning. It's kind of hazy on the water. The sky is starting to turn light. And they still haven't caught anything. You know, and I don't know if they were fishing for recreation or if they were fishing to eat. Probably fishing to eat. But they hadn't caught anything. And it tells us chapter 21, verse 4, it says, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. John and the other gospels tell us about these different times when Jesus appears to his disciples after his resurrection. And there's something a little bit different about him in that they don't recognize him, at least not at first. And he's there on the shore, and they don't recognize him. It says that he called out to them, called out across the water, friends or children, you haven't caught any fish, have you? And they answer him, no. And he calls out again. He says, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. They still don't know who he is, but they respond to what he says, and they throw their net on the right side. I don't know what they were thinking. I don't know if they were thinking that he could see the fish in there or what, but they respond. They throw their net on the right side of the boat. And it says that there were so many fish that came into the net that they were unable to haul it on board. It was so heavy with fish. So they're dragging it along behind the boat. Well, about this time, John, who was especially close to Jesus, John, who wrote this gospel, he said to Simon Peter, you know, his old fishing crony, they've been friends a long time, family friends a long time, I imagine. Been lots of boats together. Been out on the water together, been with Jesus many times. John says to Peter, it's the Lord. And it tells us that Peter jumps out of the boat. He puts on his clothes. Must have been out there, you know, at night. They didn't want to get there. They didn't have very many clothes, like one set of clothes. They didn't want to ruin it. You know, so they would take off their clothes to fish at night. Nobody could see them. Puts on his clothes, jumps out of the boat, and starts, you know, swimming, sloshing, walking through the water to make his way to Jesus. Jesus is there waiting on the shore, and when they get there, Peter's not much ahead of him at all. When they get there, they find Jesus there on the shore, and Jesus has a fire going, a charcoal fire. And he's got fish on it, and he's got bread. And he says, you know what? Bring some of that fish that you just caught. Come and let's have breakfast together. So Peter, being impulsive, he goes back and it tells us that he grabs this net that the other disciples have been barely able to like move and drag. They haven't even been able to bring it into the boat. Peter is filled with such energy that he just grabs the thing and like brings the whole thing to shore. And it tells us that the net didn't even break. It was filled with large fish. Over 100 fish. And it says, so Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. And then it tells us this. It says, none of the disciples, they're telling us later on, you know, like what they were thinking in their heads. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. No one dared ask him who he was. They knew who he was. They knew it was Jesus. They knew it was the risen Christ among them. So here's a question for us. Do you know the risen Christ? Do you know when the risen Christ is among us? The risen Christ is here. The same risen Christ that invited his friends, invited his followers, invited his disciples to breakfast beside a lake on what I think must have been a beautiful day is here. And he invites us to eat with him. He invites us to be his friends. He invites us to follow him. After this breakfast scene, there's another famous passage, and some of you might know it, but Peter, you know, the impulsive one, the one that dragged the net, this was kind of the first real interaction he'd had that we know of, that he'd had with Jesus since Jesus had been crucified and raised from the dead. And you know what Peter had done just a few weeks earlier, a couple of weeks earlier, on the night that Jesus was there being tried and condemned to death? He denied Jesus three times. He said, I don't know him. I don't know the guy. You know, and I'm just wondering, you know, what was going on in Peter's heart? What was going on in his mind? Was he anxious? Scared? Did I hear scared? Yeah, scared. You know, what's going on? What's he going to say to me? And yet, you know, he runs to see Jesus, right? When he hears John say it's the Lord, he runs to see Jesus. He runs to see the risen Christ. And Jesus, there around a charcoal fire, much like the fire that had been there the night that Peter denied Jesus three times. Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? Huh? Feed my children, feed my sheep. You know? Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Well, feed my sheep. Three times. Jesus, feed my sheep. Take care of my people. Feed my sheep. Jesus not only forgives Peter, but he calls Peter. He gives him a command and a charge and a responsibility. He trusts him, doesn't he? You know, and so often in life when we mess up, when we blow it, sometimes we think, well, that's it. I'm done. I'm not good for anything. Right? I've been there. You know, and sometimes it's over the silliest, smallest things. And sometimes it's something really big. Doesn't matter. Jesus comes. The risen Christ comes. And he fixes us breakfast. He says, bring some of those fish that you just caught. You know what? The disciples didn't provide the breakfast, did they? They'd fished all night long, no fish. But it was the presence of the risen Christ. It was Christ's presence among them that brought the fish, right? We can work and work and work. Try and try and try. But it's not us. It's not our work. It's not our effort. I'm saying don't work. I'm not saying that. But work in trust, because it was the presence of the risen Christ among them that brought the fish, right? And he extends an invitation to Peter. Feed my sheep. Peter, you know what? I still trust you. You're still my friend. And I'm inviting you to join me in something that's much bigger than you. You have a responsibility. Feed my sheep. Thank you.